time to take KSL Outdoors. This is Utah's most listened to program about hunting, fishing, camping, and high adventure. All the gear you need to buy, where the fish are biting, and secret places in Utah and around the world where you can have a blast. KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good morning and welcome to a brand new day. As always, a pleasure to have you with us to start this Saturday. Nice warm Saturday, too, by the way. If you weren't already suffering from a little spring fever, this one might do it to you. But when Grant Wayman was in with Amanda and me a couple of days ago on Utah's Morning News, she was cheering for the sun. I was cheering for a little snow that looks like it's coming back.
Good for you. We're in the minority, Tim.
I know. Coming back tomorrow, and we'll linger, I guess, a little bit into Monday, but we'll talk more about that coming up. Just don't want my ski season to be over yet.
I get it.
Not yet.
Yeah. Anyway, nice to have you with us. I'm Tim Hughes. That would be Russ Smith from Sky Call.
Good morning, in shorts and a beater shirt this morning.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a mental image nobody's going to be able to get rid of.
Nah, no beater shirt.
Be glad this show is being recorded
midweek.
By the
way, young people have no idea what that means.
A beater shirt?
Don't they know?
That's the old tank top thing.
I get it, but the young people don't know what that is.
Okay, young people.
Well, speaking of young people, by the way, that's Navidauskas over
morning,
there.
Mike.
Good morning, everybody.
Mike Navidauskas, sort of like
Believe
Bob,
me, I'm
James
kind
Bob.
Of in tune with what young people don't know, and you would be surprised.
Oh, I wouldn't.
Yeah, because you have to carry conversations on with him every day.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, that's one of the reasons why he comes in with his hat cockeyed and he's wearing goofy shirts.
No,
and,
no, they dress like me. Shirt. That's where they got it.
You set the trends.
My grandson came in the other day. He thought he left his, what did he call them? And here's a good test for you. I would have called them flip-flops or sandals. He called them Sliders. He thought he left his sliders at my house. And in my mind, I'm thinking, small hamburgers?
I have to say.
You left your small hamburgers at my house?
Sliders, you put your feet in them. It doesn't go between your toes.
I get it.
That's why we called them thongs in the old days. They went to flip-flops.
Well, we called them all thongs in the old days. Even the ones you put your toes between.
They weren't really around. They're kind of a new thing.
You can't call them thongs now.
No, because that's some kind of...
I found that out.
Swishy underwear.
It's ladies' underwear.
Okay.
I'm wearing ladies' underwear on my feet.
Oh, the stuff I say, they look at me cockeyed.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, he goes, you have a pencil? I go, let me hook you up. And they all go...
As in relationships?
Yeah.
Like you're going to hook him up with a kid, a young man who might have a pencil?
That's how you think of it. A hookup is not even...
Oh, it goes beyond just...
Way beyond. You don't Netflix and chill, okay? That means something to them.
Netflix. Okay. I don't know how we got off on this, but here we go.
Look how much we learned this morning.
Yeah.
Already.
And we're only 3 minutes into the show. We are going to talk about things outdoors today, which we eventually get around to on this program. Navi, good thing we're recording this midweek because you're out on the river.
Absolutely.
Next
fact,
couple of
I'm
days.
I'm in route right now listening to myself.
Yeah, which is a weird experience,
it is.
Probably.
It is.
You're taking the class out for their 2 days on the river?
Correct.
Weber?
We have 2 weekends. We're planning for the Weber. It looks good. River's low and clear and everything is good. My spring class is coming up, though, and I'm worried about them because they may have a lot of snow coming down, so we might be fishing the Provo. We'll be seeing that soon.
Don't jump the gun on that.
No, I know, but I'm already ordering the flies and preparing, trying to calculate what kind of conditions
we're
going to
get.
Have a
beautiful spring.
So
slow melt.
I hope that's. Yeah. I hope it keeps coming. We still need more snow. We still need more Wimmer.
Yeah.
I don't really like Punxsutawney Phil this year, but if you're interested in that class, you want to get on that list because it's selling out.
We'll tell you more about how to get on that list coming up with the Fish Bites later in the hour. Speaking of skiing and when skiing might come to a close, the official closing dates are out for the resorts, and we'll run those down a little bit later this morning.
Went by too fast, too.
It did go by too fast, but that means we've been having a good time. Time flies when you're having fun.
Absolutely.
Speaking of... snow day, Jared Winkler will join us from Brighton, and he'll be sharing some of the springtime activities that they have planned up Big Cottonwood Canyon. So we'll look forward to that conversation at 7:35. We'll also check back in with the Utah Avalanche Center and Craig Gordon to see what he anticipates as we get another round of snow on top of what will probably be some melting conditions in places in Utah. So that'll happen just before we get to snow day. Also, at the top of the next hour, Faith Jolly is back with us from the Division of Wildlife Resources. This one took me by surprise. She sent me a note on a press release about hunting in state parks, that they are expanding the opportunities to hunt in state parks. And I said, I had no idea that you could hunt in state parks.
I'm just trying to think of a large enough state park where it would make a difference.
Well,
you could.
There's quite a list of them that these opportunities will be expanding into, and we'll let her sort all of that out. But it was off my radar for sure.
Russ, you have to know the difference between state parks and national parks.
I do know the difference.
Yeah, and state parks have always had kind of this, kind of blurry line.
I'm trying to think of a state park I've been to where there's something other than sand. And I mean,
Well, there's obviously a lot of land surrounding it. And there's no gates or fences.
State park land?
I mean, I guess there is a gate getting in, but fences around it, no.
Can you name one?
Strawberry's a great hunting area, and that's also a state park.
Okay. Strawberry's a state park?
It's not a state park.
No.
It isn't?
No.
No.
Not a state park.
You guys know. You went around in a motorhome to find them all.
Yeah, we did.
You guys are the authority here.
We hit go back to that. Did we stop at Strawberry? I don't remember.
We hit them in 72 very long hours, as a matter of fact, all of the state parks, which was quite an adventure. Anyway, we'll let Faith help us sort all of that out.
Yeah.
Coming up when she joins us a little after the top of the next hour. Also, you had booked a guest, did you not, that will be joining us?
Right. I've got this new piece of equipment we talked about last week.
And you've got somebody from the company that's going to help explain it.
So he's going to call in. We're going to talk about it and what a value it will be to your life.
Well, refresh the memories of people that may not have been listening.
This is a communications device. It'll make your text messaging and email seamless. Your app on your phone will direct them over satellite or over Wi-Fi or over cellular, depending on what services
are available. How is this device different than what we already have access to?
It's simpler. It's smaller. It doesn't do all the tracking. It does not have a screen on it for you to see maps. It's pretty basic stuff. It's what a lot of people are looking for. I got a lot of guys that take trackers but never use them.
Yeah.
They're just doing it for texting.
So we'll hear that.
Yeah.
All right. So we look forward to that. I'm just going to ask you this question off on a side note, because all of us are planning on taking some road trips soon together.
Right. Absolutely.
We're headed up to Whistler. We'll be flying into Vancouver. Russ, we're going to go down to Las Vegas. It's not like heading too far. But this coronavirus thing, have you guys freaked out at all?
Not at all.
Not really. I know you are. My wife
I'm not. Unfortunately,
you were talking about wearing a mask on the airplane.
Well, no, I asked the question, do you think people will be wearing masks on an airplane?
Yeah, maybe.
And so far, the CDC... The CDC says that there's really no increased threat,
risk,
I guess.
Than the flu.
No increased threat on the airplane than there would be anywhere else.
Yeah.
Unless you're in proximity to somebody that's coughing and sneezing constantly in your direction.
Well, it's getting worse. It's not getting better. So potentially a worry, but I don't see it as a worry right now.
Anytime I get on a plane or on a bus, I feel like the odds are pretty good I'm going to come back with a cold or a flu. You know?
I expressed this frustration with one of the reporters we had on from ABC earlier this week when we were talking about the numbers, because, you know, what is there, 50-some in the United States, I guess, that have it. No one has died from it. The numbers are mostly in China. And the fact is that if you take a look at the flu, the standard flu.
Right,
and your wife works at Primary Children's Hospital. She says all the beds are full of kids with flu.
RSV.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of my lead. I'm not really concerned, because she is not concerned in the least.
Yeah. But
she just says, wash your hands.
I get upset sometimes at the media coverage of it. That's,
oh, it's sensationalism,
way out of control.
Too.
Yeah.
I use the term... we want to inform but not inflame the situation.
But you start all the news now with breaking news.
Yeah. But if you look at the common flu here during the season, which happens every year, January, February is usually the high point, it pales in comparison.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, I get that.
Whenever
we're all looking,
I get the opportunity.
We're all paying attention. The stock market is taking a hit because of it.
Yeah, and it's good to be informed.
Brazil got their first case.
Right, and he was a traveler who had been to Italy, where they know they've got an area around Milan that has been seeing some increases. So anyway, we'll throw that out there. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll take a look at news of the week. So make sure you stay with us. That's next.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
All right, now you might say, are they doing this on our News of the Week segment? By the way, welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio.
Because welcome back to Senile Tim.
Because there's snow coming tomorrow? No, it's because Michael Bublé.
And, oh, I love Bublé.
And me too. And his Christmas music actually made news this week because he was singing for fans whose only reactions were to glance at him, and in one case, lick a tree.
lick
okay,
a tree.
Maybe I am senile. Bublé was singing Christmas carols for silverback western lowland gorillas at the Werribee Open Range Zoo in Australia. Why Christmas carols? Because gorilla keeper Ben Gooley says that Bublé's Christmas album relaxes the gorillas. He says it appears that Bublé's low tones mimic the gorilla's pleasure grumbles.
It works on me, too.
I would like to meet Ben Gooley.
Would you?
I want to lick a tree.
What a great name.
Well, I love Bublé.
This kind of relaxes me, too.
My wife makes fun of me because I'm such a Bublé guy.
Who doesn't like Bublé?
I love Bublé. All right, here's another story out of Monrovia, California. Maybe you saw the video. It went a little viral online. You've heard about what a wild bear does in the woods. But some people near Los Angeles got to see what a wild bear does in the suburbs. A large, older bear had been ambling around Monrovia, California, at the foot of the San Gabriels.
Right.
Drew some curious onlookers and news crews. It also drew wildlife officials who had to tranquilize the bear and move it to a nearby forest. I'm always surprised of the wildlife stories that come out of Southern California.
But they come right off of the Angeles Crest Forest there. I mean, it's been a constant problem. Bears swimming in people's pools, all that kind of stuff.
We had stories of attacks by cougars, of bikers and hikers.
Look, we have them here. We just don't see them. Yeah. They have nowhere to go but cement.
Yeah. I just don't think of it being in Southern California. But
so like they're visiting
it's the Golden Bear State.
True.
Yeah.
Thank you for pointing that
Without
out.
Without any golden bear.
This one was a 400-pounder, by the way, not tiny. And usually when these things happen, it's a cub, you know, that's curious or gotten wayward somewhere from its mom and dad. And then this one at neighboring state Wyoming got some headlines this week at the Grand Teton National Park, where officials there have suspended efforts to shoot mountain goats from a helicopter because Wyoming's governor prompted the Interior Secretary Dave Bernhardt to intervene. Well, they're saying that the goats were non-native, and they were actually going to go take them out that way by hunting them from helicopter, and they got such pushback.
What, did they come in with a tourist or something? Why would there be non-native, just regular old goats?
I don't know.
We need to call.
I don't know how they got there.
We need to call the goat packer.
if I see what kind of information
Charlie
to provide.
Has to say about
somebody
that.
Got your goat.
Somebody did get your goat. Governor Mark Gordon called the helicopter shooting a farce in a letter to the acting superintendent of Grand Teton.
That was a little gruff.
And says he looks forward to a more fruitful conversation about ways to address the mountain goat problem with the National Park Service.
Wait a minute. What part of it was a farce? That it wasn't happening?
The idea of going in and doing it that way.
Yeah, it's kind of an expensive way to shoot goats.
Dang immigrants.
What, the goats?
Yeah, they just walked in.
I don't know. But obviously they were getting some pushback from people that thought it was what would you call it, an unreasonable use of force or something?
Yeah, well.
To take the goats out of there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just biology. We have a policy here in Utah with fish. If they're not cutthroats, we got to kill them.
Yeah, well, I've never heard of non-native goats anywhere. Have you ever heard of that before?
Well, how would a non-native goat get there?
Come from somebody's farm or something? I don't know.
No, these are wild goats. They just migrate with the weather.
More than that.
No, I don't think so. I don't think people introduce wild mountain goats.
I wouldn't think so
either.
Bucket
biologists, maybe.
I wouldn't think so. Most domesticated goats would not want to stay there anyway.
Okay, are the surrounding states these goats? I mean, is this from where they came?
Well, I'm thinking there was a goat packer up in the...
No.
That lost a goat off the string.
I don't know that these weren't domesticated goats.
Okay.
These were mountain goats.
Right.
You're thinking of Charlie using goats. These are mountain goats.
Mountain goats.
And unfortunately, it's a short Associated Press story that doesn't give us a lot of background.
Okay, but we'll investigate and get back to y'all.
It's one we will look into.
Yes, we will.
All right,
we'll call one of the 9 people who live in Wyoming.
There you go.
Do they have phones in Wyoming yet?
Yes, they do.
No way to
call. Stop it. We need to take a break. A news update on the half hour, and on the other side, we'll chat with your buddy about this new device.
Yeah.
So stay right there. More KSL Outdoors coming up.